Listen to WGN Radio's newest podcast, Behind the Badge, Illinois, hosted by David Hochberg. Behind the Badge, Illinois views current events through the eyes of Illinois law enforcement leaders. Tune in. Visit WGNradio.com/behindthebadge.
Night number two. Filling in for Nick DiGilio here. Elton Jim Toronto with you. Here till 5 a.m. Hope you will stay tuned. I'm going to be here till 5. What are you doing? What's your excuse? So stay with me for the next 3 hours. Got a fun show planned. Interesting topics abound, per usual. Phone number is 312-981-7200. That's also the text line. So we're multi-platform here. Many ways to get in touch with the show, or just sit back and relax, and I'll do the steering for you. No problem. So I was talking to Dan, producer Dan Shagru. How are you doing there, Danny?
I'm well, Jim. How about yourself?
I'm doing fine. As I promised, I brought in some Christmas finery, if you will, to the studio. You go downstairs. I was just downstairs with Patty Vasquez. The Showcase studio is gloriously Yuletide-y, if you will. Big tree. Nice trim around the windows. Little fake fireplace with Santa's legs. And you come up here, and it looks like Soviet Russia. Right?
It was a little drab. Yeah.
There's not even a hint of red and or green in here. So I went down into one of my bins, and I pulled out my Santa and his reindeer, of which he is sitting on top of, what do you call that box here? Do you know?
The control tower.
The control box. Control tower. I was guessing, no need to guess. Today I brought my official countdown to Christmas ornament with me, which does have a screen, and it is a countdown. You set the exact time, and it counts down to Christmas. So as we speak right now, 38 days, 21 hours, 50 minutes and 31 seconds until Christmas. And so it's fun to watch my little ornament count down every day. I started this, I believe, in the beginning of October when it was 69 days. And so here we are at 38. But what I'm disappointed in I really enjoy this ornament. What disappoints me is that when the big day comes, we've got the technology here. It's 2017, right? All it does is just flash along the screen, Merry Christmas. It doesn't play a song. I mean, come on. I've been waiting 69 days, and all you're giving me is just a printout of Merry Christmas on a loop that goes around. I need some music. How about something a little more festive? So it's fun, and the irony is I have fun with this ornament until the actual moment of what it's programmed to do, and then it kind of wimps out, but hey, it's only an ornament. So yeah, I'm hopefully trying to bring a little festive feel to the studio here as we count down to Christmas. Although yes, I understand. A week from today, we will all be wearing our stretchy pants, I assume, and stuffing our faces and enjoying the bosoms of our family, especially if you live with Sofia Vergara. But if you don't, you still can enjoy the bosom of your family. Is Roger Badish there?
Let me check the label on his shirt.
Do you have your Thursday underwear on?
Huh? Yeah, I do. Well, I put it on Wednesday, so it's a hybrid.
Yeah. Well, so here's my question: when you have the W, when you mark those,
it's a W/TH.
Oh, is it TH? Because I use R.
Oh, no, T-H.
No, I use
the R.
R
confuses me.
Well, because you've got a T for Tuesday.
Right, but that's just the T.
So you go, you use T-H.
I use T-H, always have.
Oh, I use an R.
Yes, yeah, R would throw me off, and I would think, wait a minute, no. Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, no. Friday, Saturday, Sunday, R day? I've never heard of
that. See, I make lists, and I always have a list with me. every day, and I, because there's nothing better than scratching off.
Oh yeah.
When you complete a task, and I'll tell you, people laugh, but very few things fall through the cracks.
Yeah.
And but when I make my lists out, I use the MTWRF, and then what do you do for Saturday and Sunday?
SASU.
Did you say SU? Wow.
I like you a lot, but
wow.
SU.
Holy cow. Wow, I was like, should I hit the dump button on Roger?
You.
I thought he was a pro. You teach kids this stuff. You should be saying SU. Wow.
It's a little say me, say you.
I use Sat and Sun.
Okay, you can do that too, sure.
I go with Sat and Sun. Yeah. I'm here. I was here yesterday, here to, here today, and here tomorrow. So I'm feeling I want to get a little more, you know, just comfortable in my surroundings.
Sure.
So that's why I brought my my Christmas decorations, and Roger, if you will recall.
Oh, no, he's spraying the aroma.
Do you remember the name?
Oh, my God, I forgot what the scent was.
Cashmere Woods.
When you, I remember you on the air.
Right.
The day you fell in love with that.
Yes.
You were going nuts with that thing.
And the love affair continues.
I can tell.
It's about a year now because it was right around now when I discovered my Cashmere Woods.
Yeah.
And I found that there are some people that are very agitated. Dean Richards, for example, does not like.
Did you spray it in his face again?
Well, I brought it with me to the remote on Sunday.
You have to go subtle with Dean. You got to do the candle.
Wow.
You know,
yeah.
You can't spray it around.
You are.
You can't go Felix Unger on
no,
it. You know what I'm
right,
saying?
Exactly.
Yeah.
Well, he was definitely Oscar Madison. Speaking of FU, I definitely was Felix Unger. One of the great lines, one of the great jokes of all time is from the Odd Couple play. And so, you know, if you know the Odd Couple, there's the finicky guy and the messy guy, Oscar and Felix. Felix Unger, Oscar Madison is the messy guy. Felix is the neat guy. And so in a tirade, Oscar is going off on Felix. Oh, he's driving him crazy with his finicky cleanliness. And he says, I walked around the house and all I see are notes that say, clean your room, F you. It took me 3 months to realize that F you meant Felix Unger.
Yeah. In the movie, it's
great line.
I found a little note. We are out of cornflakes.
F you. It took me. What a great line.
I can't stand it anymore, Felix. It's not the notes. It's not the noises at 2 o'clock in the morning you make with your nose.
And then he goes, and then they have the bowl of spaghetti, and he goes, and he laughs. He goes,
you ignoramus, that's not spaghetti.
And then Oscar throws it against the wall and says, now it's garbage.
It's linguine.
Yeah.
Now it's gone. I got to tell you, I produced, because I love that, the movie so much.
Yeah.
In college, I forgot what year it was, but I produced the radio version of the first act, the card game.
Right.
At the beginning. And I had the theme music, and I set up a round table with a mic in the middle.
Oh, excellent. Very good idea.
And I had some classmates play the roles. A couple of them, I think about three of them, went on to be big time Hollywood people.
Like who?
No,
you can't remember.
Because
they must have been really big time people since you can't
produced,
remember.
Them. One of them was, I'll remember. One is Dick Blasucci. I know that. And another one went on to produce Walker, Texas Ranger.
Oh, wow.
And another
with
one.
With Chuck Norris.
Yeah. Another one went on to produce the Twilight Zone movie.
Oh, wow.
And I think he was involved in the Blues Brothers. And he's been a big producer, the man with the money or whatever.
Yeah.
Behind a lot of movies. So
interesting.
They went on to that.
I was actually in a play in a production here. I played Murray the cop.
Yeah.
So I was sitting around the table playing the cards.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I still want to play Oscar. That's the role I'd like to play.
When are you going to be? When are they going to put it on again?
I'd love to. Yeah. I mean, I'd love to. You know, every so often they do productions, and so the sad part is, you know, it's like. When somebody does that, when they put that play on, a lot of times a director will always already have someone in mind, you know, that they know.
Those two
roles are already pre-cast, and then, you know, you have to, you know, take. But I've always wanted to be in that, so I was like, okay, let me take Murray, which isn't a bad role either. But it was fun to do the play. But it's good to talk to you, Roger.
Robert K. Weiss.
Oh, Robert K. Weiss.
And guess what role he played?
Murray the Cup.
You got it.
There you go. Are you here tomorrow too, Roger, or just tonight?
No, just tonight.
Oh,
just the one night fill-in, and I'll be back my regular schedule Friday night.
And I'm looking over there. Is Vic there today?
Yeah, I believe he's.
He's not at the desk, though, is he?
He's working
on the
building. Oh, running over.
Yeah, okay. No big deal. I just wanted to say hi.
Yeah, he's working hard on the news.
Very good. Very good.
A lot of news going on.
Yeah. So, microphone's always open, Roger. You're always free to jump in.
Thank you, sir.
Is Vic there? No, and Vic is certainly welcome to jump in as well. As I said, I wanted to have a variety of topics tonight. We're going to have a little fun and also be a little serious. Since you're doing traffic today, Roger, how about these carjackings?
You know what? I saw the first, there were three of them Sunday night when I was here. I anchor from from 6 p.m. through about 1:30 in the morning. And by midnight, there were three of them already.
Man.
And so I did a story about that. And again, it wasn't the big deal that it is now, but that was the start of it on Sunday night. For some reason, it just started and it snowballed. I don't understand.
Wasn't it 15 in a span of 24 hours or something like that?
It just got carried away.
Yeah, and so I wanted to discuss this, and we've actually Dan, the producer, was able to track down an expert, a security expert, Doug Cummings. The time of the hour here is not the best to get guests, but Doug was not able to join us in person on the phone or anything, but he did pass along some tips on what you should do to either be diligent so this doesn't happen to you, or, God forbid, if you find yourself in this situation, what's the best way to handle this situation so that you can live to talk about it, because this is not something that should be taken lightly. We are in a very distracted society today, and I think, once again, sadly, the criminal element always looks for our vulnerabilities. And so you can't put those vulnerabilities out there. We've seen already how people are being robbed continuously of their cell phones because they're sitting there on platforms or at bus stops looking at their cell phone, not paying attention to the people around them, and also letting the whole world know that I've got a $700 device in my hand that's ripe for the taking. So you're in a little bubble, but you got to realize there's people outside your bubble that have access to you. And I've been surprised to see some of these, the footage of some of these carjackings, where people have their cars running and their doors open.
Yeah.
You're inviting a ne'er-do-well. I mean, it's almost too easy. So we've got a few tips for that. So I definitely wanted to talk about that. And if anybody out there's got any kind of tips or even personal stories, or God forbid, as I said before, if it's happened to you, I'd love to talk to somebody who's actually been carjacked, because it's got to be a very traumatic and scary situation. I've been robbed at gunpoint. Mm-hmm. When I was 17, I worked at a Jewel, and the store that I worked at was robbed, and I had a sawed off shotgun pointed at me. Mm. So that's not fun. No. And what's scary about a carjacking is that you're in this confined space too. Most likely, a lot of times you're in your car.
Mm-hmm.
So that's scary, because who knows? But so I've got some tips on that. But not all things are going to be as heavy and scary. But I think it's worth it, because for whatever reason, there's some kind of carjacking trend going on here in the Chicago area, which I think it's important to spread a little information for people to just make sure that they're a little more aware and a little more diligent. But then later on in the show, it is the holiday season, so it's time for some of those great as-seen-on-TV products.
Oh, my goodness.
And so I am going to run through some of my favorites, and you're welcome to share some of yours. If you've bought any, I'd love to hear if they're worth the $19.95, because that seems to be the price threshold.
Were all of them $19.95?
Pretty much everything. I think the marketing geniuses have found out that people will not spend $25 on a frivolous purchase,
right?
But they will spend $19.95.
Yeah. Well, that's not quite $20.
That's right. Exactly. So think about how a $20 bill, or if you will, a double sawbuck has been devalued. We're not afraid to spend a double sawbuck
right
on something on an impulse buy.
But then again, you know, once you get done with the shipping and the this and the that,
oh,
and
yeah,
the handling charge,
and you can get two for one with right an added service charge or an added charge.
Right.
But they never tell you what the added charge is. No. I'd love to know what that is too. Yeah. So we'll talk about all that so much more. Jim Toronto filling in for Nick DiGilio here at WGN, 720 a.m. We're going to take a quick break. Be back after this, gang. No switching. Jim Toronto filling in for Nick DiGilio today and tomorrow. Was here yesterday as well. Dipping my toe in yesterday and making sure the chair feels comfortable, and as I said, now I'm starting to decorate a little more. Just so you know, brought some Christmas stuff. 312, someone texted in and said, isn't it too early for Christmas decorations? That's actually a question I might answer tomorrow night. Is it too early? As I said, a lot of times Thanksgiving is kind of the speed bump of the holidays. It's there, we go over it, but we're just driving toward Christmas and we forget about Thanksgiving, and I'm sorry to say that I always get in a Christmas mood earlier and earlier. Last year, I put my Christmas stuff up before Thanksgiving, and I may do it. Actually, I may start. I'm thinking about it today. I don't know, but I might. The reason I also wanted to talk about, Roger earlier talked about my affinity for cashmere woods. Once again, getting no endorsement deals, just...
Yeah, something. Nobody's hit you up yet for
no. Now, for a year now, I've been talking about cashmere woods by Glade, and all they did. Well, I must say, I wanted to interview someone one time when I was trying to talk somebody from Glade. They wouldn't come on to talk about it, but they did send me a gift basket.
Ooh.
of the air freshener and the candles and the plug-ins. So that was nice, and I actually gave that to my godson Patrick for his housewarming, so that his house can smell, and just to give you a little hint here, yeah. Never heard of cashmere woods, just so everyone's house actually can smell like vanilla, citrus, mm-hmm. and amber.
Ooh.
In other words, cashmere woods.
There I still, how could they miss such a marketing?
I know. Listen, you see how I'm selling that?
I know.
And with the sound of,
look
oh,
at
I
that.
Just sprayed it. Oh,
right in your eyes. Slick move, Slick.
Just sprayed it right in my face. Oh, Nick, see, the ghost of Dean Richards is getting back at me.
Yeah, yeah.
Because Dean does not like.
He made you turn your hand.
Well, I believe every house should have a scent. And so I believe. I have
2 cents.
Hi-yo.
Hey.
But so my scent in our house is cashmere woods. Is Vic Vaughn there?
Standing by.
Hi, Victor. How you doing?
I'm okay, Jim.
Very good. I will throw it to you before I just say this. Jim Toronto filling in for Nick DiGilio at the other side of the news. We will talk about some of the this carjacking epidemic that's been going on over the last couple of days here, and pass along some tips to avoid a carjacking, or if it does happen to you, a way to hopefully get out of that situation in a safe way. So stay tuned for that.
Traffic is moving along pretty smoothly, and we're not
It's 2:30 in the morning, Roger.
Well, you know,
what do you expect?
Actually, we have had incidents where there is moving road construction on a couple of the expressways.
That's true.
And that shuts traffic down for sometimes a half an hour.
Yeah.
And so we get some big delays there.
I stand
corrected. Right now, well, you can sit corrected if you want to.
I like to stand, actually, sometimes in the studio.
That's okay.
I might do that.
I don't think corrected will mind.
Although it's not... The studios here at WGN are not built. A lot of studios in radio are built for the announcers to stand, but here the consoles and the desks are low. You have to sit.
Yeah,
or you
right.
can't hit the buttons.
Yeah, look, Vic's standing too.
Is
you know
Vic
what?
In
I'm,
support?
I'm going to stand
Elton
too.
Jim.
Yeah, we're all going to stand.
We're all standing.
This is my. You know what?
Huh?
Screw you, Colin Kaepernick.
Wow.
We're all going to stand.
I'd take a knee, but then my head would hit the table. For traffic on the 7s or 8s or anytime on demand, get the Traffic Chicago app approved by Team Hochberg at Pearl Mortgage.
I'm still standing.
Just search TRAFFIX Chicago. Roger Battish, WGN Traffic Central.
Thanks. Are you standing, Vic?
I sat. I'm tired of you looking at my belly on the screen. So,
if you come out there and you think you're going to continue to carjack, you're wrong. We're going to come after you with everything that we have, everything at our disposal, and we will get you because this simply will not be tolerated in the city of Chicago.
Strong words from Eddie Johnson, the superintendent of the Chicago Police Department. Jim Toronto filling in for Nick DiGilio this morning here till 5 o'clock. So, yeah, I mean, I don't know if you've been paying attention to the newspapers but or the TV news, but for whatever reason, over the last couple of days, there were 15 carjacking incidents in the Chicago area, and they're still trying to connect the dots as to, is this gang-related? Is this just a couple of people on their own spree? What is exactly behind this? And I thought it would be interesting to just talk about this for a while, because this is something that potentially can affect every one of us who drives a car. And it is in many ways a scary situation, because you are somewhat confined. A lot of times, the latest carjackings that I've seen, they've had some footage, have taken where the person is actually outside of the car, and for whatever reason, they have the car running, which I don't understand. But a lot of times, people are in their car. They're at a stop sign or at a stoplight, and someone comes up with a gun or some kind of a weapon and tells you to get out of the car. I mean, what do you do? And this is a scary thing. Now, I don't know. I'm wondering, because a few people that they have rounded up in some of these carjackings over the last couple of days, they're young people. They're in their teens, 18 and 19. Now, you know, let's be honest. That used to be considered an adult. For some reason, 18 and 19 is been classified as a juvenile or as a child in many people's minds. But 18 has always been adult. You can vote when you're 18. So there is some responsibility with the age of 18. So I don't know. I don't know if these are just pranks. And when you're armed with a gun, that's not a prank. So this is serious stuff. And so Doug Cummings is actually a former deputy sheriff and a former crime reporter here at WGN. He's currently a safety consultant, and he wrote a book called Escaping the Ozone, Intuition, Situational, there you go, Situational Awareness and Staying Safe. And he's got a website that's www.DougMCummings.net. Doug could not join us this morning, but he did pass along some tips of what to do. Now, once again, I don't have any idea of what's behind this, but we all know that Chicago has a very serious gang problem. And I'm just wondering that, you know, in terms of difficulty, I'm wondering, I'm hoping this isn't the case, but given the age of some of these people and the rash of this, I'm wondering, could it be possible that this is some kind of a gang initiation where maybe young members are being told to commit these carjacking crimes to show that they initiate into the gang or gain their stripes? I don't know. I mean, it's a difficult thing to get your arm around, and just the whole psyche of what goes on in a gang and the thought processes. And we're seeing these drive-by shootings, which are just ridiculous. But who knows? This seems very strange how there would be so many in such a short period of time. Remember a few years ago that there were all these smash and grabs downtown on Michigan Avenue, where they were driving cars into store windows and robbing, and then that stopped. And I give the superintendent of police, Eddie Johnson, credit for not just sitting back. He's jumping right on this and confronting it. And he's certainly throwing out some tough talk, as we heard, coming out of the news. At the same time, you have to also take a step back and say, when you use that kind of tough rhetoric, are you also laying down the gauntlet and almost challenging them? Because you're saying, we are not going to put up with this, and you are not going to get away with this. And to a young, cocky kid, that might just be enough to say, oh, yeah, old man, well, I'll show you. So I don't know where the what the solution is here, but hopefully our policing can crack down on this, because this is a scary thing that does affect all of us who drive a car. And so I thought it might be interesting to just get a little insight as to what we can do. I'm very surprised. I see so many people on the street. I don't know about you, but I see so many people on the street leaving their cars unattended. How many times are we hearing stories about people going into stores to get something? They, you know, they go to a grocery store and they leave the car running. They go to a 7-Eleven or a convenience store to get some milk or a pack of cigarettes, and they leave the car running. What is so hard about shutting your car off and locking your door? What are you in? Are you a fireman that you got to run out of that convenience store and jump right back in your car? What's your rush? Shut your car off and lock your door. Don't make it easier. I don't understand that. I always, when I get gas, I always lock the doors and have the keys in my hand. Do not keep the car running. And I'm always looking around. People say, geez, what are you always paranoid? I'm not paranoid. I'm just safe. There's a difference. And we have to begin to realize of the kind of society and the world that we're living in right now. And this is really happening, folks. So please don't. It takes 2 seconds to shut your car off and lock your door. Most cars now have a fob. You don't even have to hit the button. Remember the little thing you used to use with the hanger? There's no little button in your car. Just walk out with your keys in your hand and hit the little fob and it locks your door. How much easier can they make this? You don't have to take your keys out of the car anymore to shut the car off. There's a button. Two buttons can help save your life or save your car. Just pressing two buttons. But for some people, for some reason, two buttons is too much. And then their cars, and sometimes they're carjacking with little kids in the back seat. My gosh, if you have a kid in your back seat, please press the two buttons. Press the off on the engine and press the fob on your key and lock the door. Well, here's what Dud Cummings actually suggests on ways to hopefully prevent a carjacking. And here's number one. You think I think maybe I wrote this book, because number one says keep your doors locked and your windows up. That's why you have a heating and an AC system. Windows down leave you vulnerable to attack. Common sense, folks. A lot of this stuff is common sense. We need to use common sense. We're very distracted in today's world. We need to pay a little more attention, because that's what criminals seize on, our distraction. When we let our guard down, I was in Prague, and I went to one of these money changing places where you change your money, you know, like a to get the currency. And my wife was with me, and I was by the window, and she noticed that this guy was just staring at me as I was getting money changed, and we walked out, and she noticed him down the street. And then we walked, and then she noticed him again crossing the street by us. And about 2 minutes later, she noticed him behind us. And this is what they tell you to do. She goes, there's a guy that I think that's following us, because he saw you changing your money. He was in the change place. He's been around in the same three blocks we've been walking. And you know what we both did? We stared right at him. And he saw us stare at him. And he crossed the street and suddenly was looking around and disappeared into the crowd. Sometimes that's all it takes. They're trying to be invisible. And when you make them visible, then they run away. It's being aware of your surroundings. Great tip here, number two. When you stop, bring your head up. When you're at a stoplight or at a stop sign, it shouldn't be an excuse to check your phone or play the radio or just, or as Doug says here, adjust your underwear. I don't know about that. See, that's what makes it easy for me. I don't wear any, so that won't happen to me. And keep an eye on other traffic and watch for pedestrians approaching. Same thing. You got to sit in your car. You got to have your doors locked at the very least, because we're seeing that people are coming and literally coming into the passenger side if they see the door is open. Don't be distracted. Once again, that stoplight, you are vulnerable there, because most of the time in traffic, you stop almost very close to a car in front of you, and so you're kind of boxed in. There's someone behind you and someone in front of you. You are vulnerable. Not trying to scare you, trying to make you aware. Number three, leave enough space, just as I was saying here. Leave enough space between you and the car in front of you so you can drive around if necessary. And you should be able to see the car in front of you's rear wheels. That's enough space for to move around. And finally, be prepared to jump a curb or run a stop sign if necessary to get away from a car that's trying to block you. You know, I've done that. I've been in some sketchy neighborhoods. I drive, if it's clear, I drive right through the stop sign or the red light, and I say, you know what, if a cop wants to stop me, all the better. I'll have a police escort out of this area. Be smart. We'll take a quick break. Some more tips about the rash of carjackings and how to keep yourself safe right here at WGN 720 AM. Jim Toronto filling in for Nick DiGilio. No switching. Elton Jim Toronto filling in for Nick DiGilio this morning. Be here till 5 a.m. Talking about the carjacking spree that's been going on. 15 over the last couple of days. An 88-year-old man was carjacked yesterday, I believe. Thankfully, he's okay. We've had over 700 carjackings in the Chicago area this year. And that number can easily top 800, as we've already got, well, according to my countdown to Christmas, we got 38 days till December 25th. Another 6 days after that. So we got some 40-some days here, 44 days. Hopefully we don't break that 800 barrier for the carjackings, but for all we know, we may. Listen to the way these numbers have soared in the city. In 2013, there were 300 carjackings. And in 2014 and in 2015, just 300. Now in 2017, over 700 and inching toward 8. And the scary part is about this, 90% of the carjackings this year have gone without arrests. So these people are getting away with it. And what's really, you know, the great irony is in most criminals are failed criminals. That's why the jails are full of them. When you're seeing the end game of this, they steal these cars. Sure, you know, they point a gun or some kind of a weapon at the driver and they get the car. And then four blocks away, they crash because they're either being hunted down by police and they're driving wildly, or they're just driving wildly to get away from the scene. They lose control of the car. So they've gone through all this for nothing, and then they just run away and leave the car. It seems to be a very senseless act. I'm wondering what the end game here. What is the motivation of this? Is this a prank? Is this some gang initiation, or are they? What police are saying is they're robbing these cars in order to then do other felonious types of acts, and they have a stolen car. But what I'm saying is that might sound good in theory, but what's happening is they're carjacking these cars, and then a mile away they're getting in accidents. They're not even keeping the car. So what are we doing here? My gosh. So, yes, the police are trying to crack down as much as they can. Hopefully they will be able. It's kind of a difficult crime, I would think, to police against, because it is somewhat random. And that's why we, the individual citizens, have to be diligent. So as I said, Doug Cummings, who is a former crime reporter here at WGN, also a former deputy sheriff, has passed along some tips. We talked about some things you can do while you're on the road to hopefully prevent this by keeping your doors locked. Don't leave your car running. Be alert when you stop your car at a stop sign or a stoplight. Leave enough space between you and the car in front of you if you are at a stop. So in case someone does approach you, you can make a quick exit, back up or forward and get out of there. And if worse comes to worse, be prepared to run a stoplight or jump a curb to get away from a dangerous situation. More tips that he has passed on here to us is what happens if you are indeed confronted, which certainly is scary. And as I said, I know what it's like to be at the end of a gun. I was robbed when I worked at a Jewel when I was a teenager, at gunpoint, sawed-off shotgun, pointed right at me. Guy said, "Don't move or I'll blow you away." That gets your attention, folks. Believe me. But here's some things that that Doug Cummings suggests if, you know, God forbid, you are confronted in a carjacking situation. As I've been saying all along here, be aware of your surroundings. When you approach your parked car, be alert to other vehicles or people nearby. You're not being paranoid. You're not profiling. Don't be afraid of being politically correct. Worry about your safety. Be aware of where you're at and who's around you. As I said, I looked a possible pickpocket or a possible robber right in the eyes in the Czech Republic, who I think was going to be following us because I had just changed some money. Looked him right in the eye, and suddenly he disappeared into the crowd, and he was following us for a couple of blocks. Here's the most obvious one, which I said at the top, and I you can't stress this enough. Never leave your car running or the keys in the ignition when you leave your car. Always lock your car when you leave it, even for a few minutes. My gosh, that's the easiest one to do. As I said, in today's car technology, two buttons to press. The engine button and your fob. And that's all it takes for a little safety. Doug says he calls ATMs accessory to a mugging because they are dangerous places. Avoid using the outside or freestanding ATM kiosks, especially at night. Once again, be aware of your surroundings. Be careful of an ambush if you're outside or even in your car. If you are involved in a crash, this is an interesting one. If you're involved in a crash, if you have any suspicions that it's not a legitimate accident, maybe someone's hitting you behind to stop the car and then they'll come up to you and carjack, keep some distance away from the other car and stay in your car with the windows rolled up and call 911 if you're afraid. You don't need to immediately get out of the car and look at the scene of the crime here. If you feel unsafe for any reason, drive away and go to the nearest police station or a lit area, as long as there's no injury. And the best, situation is give up your car. Don't be a hero. If you don't have kids in the back seat or anything, give up your car. Do not sacrifice your life for a possession. But at the end of the day, folks, the best thing is to be diligent, be aware of your surroundings, and don't create an easy situation for a criminal to take advantage of you. And all I will do and leave this segment is quote the great Sergeant Phil Esterhaus from Hill Street Blues. When you're out there, let's be careful out there. We'll be back after this. No switching.
And this is the Atomic Beam Lantern, the new tough grade lantern that's stronger and brighter than other lights. And now the technology used by U.S. Special Forces is available at home. Just pull it open to turn it on. You'll get 360 degrees of super bright light. Close it to turn it off, and it retracts into its combat-ready case. It's super light and packs up tight. Look, flashlights shine a beam in one direction. Other lanterns use standard LEDs that look white but are not bright. But we use the brand new Atomic Beam LED flat panels that are blazing bright. They throw up.
Jim Tirano filling in for Nick DiGilio this morning. Be here tomorrow morning as well from 2 to 5. As I said, I'm staying here till 5. Hopefully you will too.
So strong, it can survive a 50-foot fall.
How about that? The atomic lantern can survive a drop from 50 feet. I don't think we could even survive that. How great is that? Have you been sucked in by that claim?
The atomic beam lantern.
From the atomic beam lantern, just one of the many, many as seen on TV products that, especially right now, as we are entering the holiday season, our TVs are just cluttered and littered with as seen on TV products. And I have to tell you, they are tempting. They are tempting. I love watching these commercials. And the funny thing is, I had never bought anything. I knew the commercials by heart. I knew the products. I would sit at home and say, you know, that's not a bad idea. I would, you know, maybe I should buy that. That looks cool. Oh, here's my favorite whatchamacallit, whatever it is. It was the funniest part, talking about how the cosmos works. I was talking about these one day with a friend of mine. And, you know, just real quick conversation, just came up for whatever reason. Not even a long conversation, just a quick, oh, you know, I think I even mentioned the atomic lantern. There were three that I was really jonesing on for a while. It was the Hurricane Spin Broom. Have you seen that? It takes the place of a broom and the little waste, what is that thing called? Dan, what's that thing called that you
waste bin?
What you sweep into
the dustpan.
The dustpan. And so the whole idea is that there's these two spinning wheels with kind of bristles on them, and you push it like a sweeper, and the bristles pick up the dirt, and then they shove it into a little compartment. And it's better than a dustpan and a broom because, as they say in the commercial, it's completely correct. How many times do you follow that line? You keep sweeping with the dustpan and it leaves that line. Then you push the dustpan behind it and you sweep, and that damn line keeps following you until you just, I don't know about you, but I will give the dust line four swipes. Then I will give it up, and I hate to tell you, I just take my foot and I kind of move the dust around. It's like, okay, I'm sorry, but I'm not going to walk 17 feet to get rid of this damn dust line. But it is there. So the Hurricane Spin Broom is supposedly, at least the way it was on TV, eliminate that line and pick up. This was the amazing thing that turned my head. Not only did it pick up dust and dirt and the usual things you might find, you know, in your kitchen or in your living room, they had a ham sandwich. A ham sandwich sitting on the floor, and they used the Hurricane Spin Broom, and it picked up a ham sandwich. Now, I don't know if it works on bologna. I don't know if it works on peanut butter and jelly, but I do know it picks up ham sandwiches. So I said, wow. Because as I said to you before, I am very Felix Unger-ish around the house. I drive my wife crazy. I like everything in its place. Even ask Dan, look at how, you know, I've got all this, the chairs are all lined up here.
They are.
I got all my papers in front of me. They're not askew.
Your Christmas decorations are staged.
They are staged, yes. I am very particular. And maybe some people say I'm anal, and that's a polite word for what I am. But that's just the way it is. And so when I saw this spin broom, I'm like, you know what? I need the Hurricane Spin Broom. But I'm like, but am I really gonna order the Hurricane Spin Broom? Am I really going to spend $19.95? As I said earlier, the marketers must have determined that we will pay $19.95 for an impulse buy. We will not pay $25 or $29.99, but we will spend $19.99 because that seems to be the price for everything. Hurricane Spin Broom, $19.99. Atomic Lantern, $19.99, which is another thing I looked at. You know, we've got a patio in the backyard, and so we'll go out at night sometimes, especially in the summer, and we don't have the backyard lit. And so we have like a little lantern, but it doesn't really throw too much light. We have a little fire pit out there, but, you know, that doesn't throw some light. And I said, boy, maybe we should get the atomic lantern because it throws, it's supposed to throw 30 feet of light. Plus, if I ever walk up a 50-foot tower and drop it, it will survive. So I was talking to my wife, yeah, boy, that atomic lantern is kind of very compact too. You just lift it and it lights up. So I was kind of talking about that. And then the third thing that I was looking at was the MicroTouch Solo Hair Clipper. Have you seen that? It's this really lightweight, you know, I've got a goatee, and it was showing because now everybody has either stubble or a beard, so obviously the grooming products are becoming more popular than they would be before. And so there's this light touch thing, it's got a little micro light on it, and it's supposed to be very light to the touch. And it gets everything done. I'm like, boy, that really looks good for, you know, that's $24.99, but okay, it's a little more electric than the other things. So those were the kind of three things that I was always looking at going, boy, you know, those might be worth taking a dive in. But once again, I'm always a reluctant shopper. I have to be in the mood to buy something. I'm not an impulse buyer at all. So often I hem and haw on things, and then I go back to a store and it's gone. And I always kick myself for not buying it. So I'm not very impulsive when it comes to that. So here's a funny thing. I was talking to a friend of mine about this. We went to lunch. I come home that day, 2 hours later. I come home, and on the counter is a spin broom, atomic lantern, and the MicroTouch. My wife ordered all three. She is an impulse buyer. But she said, I just had to buy these because you're driving me crazy. Every time the commercial's on, you say how great those are, but you're not buying them. And I said, well, you know, I'm glad you did because I never would have made the plunge. And I have to say, I love my Hurricane Spin Broom. I use that thing every day, and I love my Hurricane Spin Broom. We have used my atomic lantern in the yard. It does as advertised. And I must say that I'm very impressed. I believe my goatee has been much more neatly trimmed over the last couple of weeks. It's been about a month now or so that I've had the MicroTouch. So I am happy with those. I never would have bought them, but I did. The other ones that have caught my eye. Have you seen the sock slider? Have you seen that? It's like a shoehorn without the horn. I think it might be for people that either have a bad back or the elderly people. You put your sock on this contraption, you put your foot in the contraption, and you pull something, and your sock goes on your foot. It's amazing.
Only $24.99.
Hey, you know how much. Back surgery costs? I won't have to bend over to put my socks on anymore, Roger.
Three easy steps.
The sock slider. It's the cool. I don't know if it works in real life because it's only like this piece of plastic. But my gosh, does it look cool when they put the socks on the people?
See, that's the problem that your wife made for herself now. You kept bugging her
right.
about those three things.
Right.
And what did she finally do?
Yeah, she bought them.
So now you can't bug her about those three things.
Right.
Now you have to find three new things to bug her about.
Well, there is.
You've got the sock slider.
The sock slider is one. Right. I'm very skeptical, but I'm wondering, somebody invented or discovered now that copper
mm-hmm.
is the new Teflon.
Right. So you want the red copper square?
The red. I like the red copper Flipwich.
Okay.
And I love Kathy Mitchell,
mm-hmm.
that little chubby lady with the red hair.
Sure.
Who has all those. Did you ever see her make? She makes an apple pie
mm-hmm.
with a Flipwich.
Yeah.
With two pieces of bread and some pie filling. She puts it in a Flipwich. There's an apple pie. And then she makes. Then she got this other thing that makes an omelet.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody. I when did we discover copper as the new Teflon?
Copper was discovered
but
billions
suddenly,
of years ago.
Right, but now suddenly copper is on every pan. There's the Gotham steel copper thing.
Mm-hmm.
which is another brand, but she's got the red copper pans and the mm-hmm. Flipwich, and I'm tempted to buy that because I really like a nonstick pan.
Now, don't forget, this is after we learned the healing properties of copper, because if you watch any sports network,
that's right.
Everybody needs a copper
that's
knee
right.
brace or an elbow brace.
Well, hey, Dan makes a good point, because look at how many years the Statue of Liberty has held her arm with that book and that lantern. Isn't she made out of copper?
Yeah.
And I don't see any arthritis on her.
No.
And now apparently...
Well, she can't move now. She's been stuck like that forever.
But apparently, if it gets real hot, mm-hmm. you could fry an egg on the Statue of Liberty and it won't stick.
By the way,
made of copper.
I might have an alternative for you.
What's that?
I noticed there's there's a special.
On what?
Hillary Clinton Chia Pet.
Oh, nice.
Mark down.
Oh, are you serious?
I'm serious.
Oh, my
1995
God.
1995.
To what?
$4.97.
Oh, wow. Isn't that? I think her book is that much, too. I think they lowered the price on that one. Wow. $4.95 for a Hillary Chia Pet.
Mm-hmm.
Boy, wouldn't you love to be, you know, the guy who stocked up on those? He's like, hey, the first woman president, these are going to run off the shelves. Honey? Buy that boat. I just bought 700,000 Hillary Clinton Chia Pets. We're going to make $1 million in 10 minutes. As soon as she's elected, the next minute, we are going to be millionaires. Now he's selling them for $4.95.
But your red copper flip, which, by the way, is not on sale.
Oh, what's
it
that?
It is still for $19.99.
See, $19.95, I told you.
$99.
Oh, $99. I'll go $99.
All right.
Have you seen...
It's not $20.
Have you seen the Grab It?
Yes.
The Grab It.
We've got one at home. We didn't buy it from these guys. Bridget said because she... We got stuff higher up and she can't reach.
That's what it's for.
And especially when she was in the wheelchair.
It's this claw.
Right.
That helps you get stuff on a high shelf.
That's right.
Now, the thing that I'm impressed, now you're saying, now she was in a wheelchair, so that's perfect.
Mm-hmm.
But the thing that impressed me about it, which has tempted me to buy a Grab It.
What
they show on the commercials, if you drop a sock in between your washer or dryer,
it'll reach it.
You, because what are you going to do? It's always a pain to move. You know, how many times you do that, which does happen quite often, and you got to move your washer and dryer, and that's a pain.
Mm-hmm.
But you get the Grab It, and it goes right in that little slit.
Yeah.
The Grab It.
We use it all the time.
Do you really?
Yes.
Wow. So that is a viable product, right?
Yes, it is.
And it's got a magnet on it to pick up your keys.
Well, we didn't get the one with the magnet.
We're cheap.
We're very cheap.
You're cheap.
We're very cheap.
When I
got it at Jewel Osco. So
hey, when I buy a Grab It, I get top shelf.
Mm-hmm. Hey,
I swing, baby.
See, this is why
I don't scrimp when it comes to Grab It.
This is the ultra model.
Yeah,
Grab It is $24.99.
Ah, okay.
Ours was under. I think 15.
Now here's the scariest one that I'm fearing that people in my neighborhood may buy.
Uh oh.
Laser Magic.
Yeah.
Those. This the new thing now is to project pictures on your house.
Yeah, but the laser one is actual laser beam.
I know. Well, there are three of them. There's the Laser Magic. There's the Window Wonderland.
Yeah.
And there's Star Shower.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I've read the reviews on those two because I almost made the call on the...
Oh, you were going to buy one?
I was going to buy the one with the video.
Oh, yeah, right. That's winter. I think that's Winter Wonderwall.
Right.
What is it? And, Window Wonderland.
And I read the... I always read reviews, and we're not getting it.
Oh, yeah. Really?
Yeah. Sorry. No offense to anyone who's
Well, I'm
one,
wondering about the clarity and how cheap it looks. It looks terrible on your house. Please, folks, don't buy that. At least if you don't live on my block, You want to put the block over, that's fine. But please, not. I hope, I'm praying to God my next-door neighbors don't buy that.
This is the Laser FX, which is also marked down.
Oh.
From $29.95 to $19.95.
See, I told you.
Yeah.
That's the threshold.
It's the indoor laser light. Images rotate and strobe.
Yeah.
That's all you need. Just be looking at that thing in the strobe.
I know.
And you start going,
no, please, no laser magic. It's not even kitschy.
No.
I'm all for kitsch.
Right.
But that's not even kitsch. No. Now, here's the best one.
Which one?
And the scariest one.
Uh-oh.
Have you seen the blackout charcoal mask?
The blackout?
It's a charcoal paste that you put on your face
to take out
all of the blackheads and the pimples.
Yes.
And so you put this paste on your face.
Mm-hmm.
It looks like you're going to be in a minstrel show.
Ew.
And it dries up, and then you peel it off.
Mm-hmm.
And then you look at what is in your face.
It's my face.
Oh.
It peeled off my whole face.
Oh, well, I mean.
California charcoal.
It looks so gross, especially after you peel it off and they show. Now, I haven't bought this. And there was a thing a few years ago called Bore or something like that was the same kind of premise, that it pulled out all the dirt and grime in your pores. Oh. And then the best one, best part two, in the charcoal brand.
Yeah.
Have you seen the charcoal teeth whitener?
No, I missed that one.
Yeah. So this is another paste that you put on your toothbrush. Oh, it's black charcoal. The idea is to whiten your teeth, but the best part is when you put it on, your teeth are black. And on the commercial, they have these people with black teeth brushing their teeth in order to whiten them.
I don't think so.
Oh, I'm so tempted to at least try that.
No. No.
No.
Take away Elton Jim's credit
card.
No,
I know. No. But I have to say, my wife had made three good calls.
Yeah.
I love my spin broom.
There you go.
I'm loving my atomic lantern, and I'm loving my Micro Touch solo hair clipper.
You've still got to get the bowl light.
Yeah.
It's marked down. Yeah. It's only $10.97.
The Grab-It.
Get the Grab-It. You'll like the Grab-It. Trust me. You'll use it a lot more than you thought.
Oh. You don't want to know the way I'm going to use it, Roger. Jim Tirano filling in for Nick DiGilio here at WGN 720 AM. We'll be back after this. No switching. Jim Tirano with you here at WGN 720 AM in Chicago. Filling in for Nick DiGilio today and tomorrow morning. Was here yesterday as well. Hope you are enjoying the show. Dan, is Nick coming back on Monday?
Nah, he has to burn through some vacation time, so he'll be off all of next week as well.
Oh, all of next week too? Wow. Wow. That's a nice little...
Yeah.
He didn't take much time off then, does he? Or does he just say...
No, yeah, I mean, that's the thing, you know, I forget how many weeks he has, but the end of the year always comes up, and he's like, oh, I've got to start using them.
Yeah, wow. So he'll be gone for a while. Well, like I said, I will be here until today and tomorrow as well. So hope you're enjoying the show. I'm having a good time here. As I said, I'm making myself at home, spraying the studio with some Glade cashmere woods. Ah, the fresh smell of amber and citrus and vanilla. I used to use clean linen, and I ran out of clean linen one time, and I went to Menards, and I went to the Glade section, and I started spraying. It was like I was at the the fragrance counter at Macy's. I just started spritzing myself and stepping into it and going, and I never saw or heard of cashmere woods, and I gave it a spritz, and I said, oh, my goodness, I think I found our new scent. And that was right around this time of year. So it's been a year. So it wasn't just a fleeting love affair. This is the real thing. I put a ring around it. Isn't that the song by Beyonce? Put a finger on it?
Put a ring on it.
Ping a ring on it. On my can of Glade, there's a ring. I put a ring on it. Fell in love with cashmere woods. So we were talking about the crazy, we are distracted, kind of crazy culture these days. Everything is just moving so fast. My goodness, the headlines are filled with all these sexual harassment and sexual misconduct allegations against some very prominent celebrities, including Louis C.K. and Kevin Spacey and power moguls like, I was going to say mongrels, power moguls like Harvey Weinstein. And it seems like we'd be really with the, the last couple of years, we've become sort of just like a dog or a cat. We're like the shiny object society now. Whatever is the shiny object, we gravitate toward, and we run and we pounce on it, and then we, we get tired of that, and we go to the next one, and we don't really stay on anything very long. And one of the things that that has been getting lost in the shuffle, at least recently, were a few high-profile deaths that I felt really didn't get as much recognition as they deserved, considering the impact and the influence that that these people had. Because, you know, we've just, as I said, between the Las Vegas shooting, which pretty much overran the news of both Hugh Hefner and Tom Petty's passing, and that's been, that was dominating the news even long after the initial incident happened, and then these almost daily reports of sexual harassment by whoever. I mean, it's everybody's name is popping up here. I had no idea it was this prevalent in the entertainment industry. Certainly, we've all heard the term of the casting couch, but my goodness, there's a lot more going on than just casting and couches in some of these allegations. But I thought it would be a good idea. In the music world, there were a few people that that I felt died over the last couple of weeks that all these other stories seem to bypass. And so I thought we could take a little time here just to give some of these folks their due, because they certainly deserve to be recognized and celebrated for their musical contribution. Some of them go back several decades. And some are more recent. So I just thought we would go to the you don't know. This is radio. It's all, theater of the mind. Let's just pretend. Yeah, I brought in my turntable. Dan, can you find like some bad scratchy sound effect that we could play over this so it will really sell this? And once again, I don't mind showing you how the sausage is made. So sometimes it's just on the spur of the moment. So we'll just create this theater of the mind for you now. But somebody who passed away over the last couple of weeks was Fats Domino. Now, once again, my nickname is Elton Jim Toronto, right? I'm a huge Elton John fan, and so obviously I am I'm taken with the rock and roll piano players, whether it's Jerry Lee Lewis, obviously Elton John, Billy Joel, and Fats Domino is really one of the real pioneers who made the piano a rock and roll instrument. It still is difficult because you can't walk around the stage with it. It's as big as Elton's always said. It's this big plank of wood, and how do you have fun with that? And that's why people like Jerry Lee and Elton have done things where they've jumped on it and gotten on top of it and done handstands on it, something, because it's just this immovable object. But I really love a good honky-tonk rock and roll piano player, and really, Fats Domino was a major pioneer. One of the first people inducted into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame back in 1986, one of the first inductees. And so let's play a little of Fats Domino. Now, when you listen to some of the stuff from the 50s, nowadays you say, well, what's so great about that? But you can't take it out of context. You got to go back into the 50s and realize that most music at that time was Frank Sinatra and these lush kind of torch ballads and orchestrations. And then out of the blue, came something like this.
I've found my thrill.
My gosh, how do you not tap your... I'm just instantly tapping my foot. And I'm instantly playing air piano on the console. And I'm pounding out those chords.
The moon's still.
Now, I don't know if you heard the news, but several years ago when Katrina happened, Fats Domino was from New Orleans, and he was involved in... He was actually... missing for several days, and he had to be rescued from his home that was flooded. But he did pass away a few weeks ago, and I mean, boy, I love that voice. Here's another one.
I'm walking,
yeah. I dare you not to tap your toes to this. That song was featured prominently. I think the first time I ever heard that song was from American Graffiti, the movie American Graffiti. It was in the movie. And I was a young kid at the time. I was about 9 years old. And I heard that song and went, whoa, what was that? In fact, that movie was one of the first introductions I had to music from the 50s and the early 60s because, you know, there wasn't really a lot of, at that point, quote-unquote oldie stations, and that the American Graffiti movie really was responsible for creating kind of the resurgence of the entire oldies format, because that soundtrack, if you're a younger person and you don't really know too much about, you know, the rock and roll of the early days in the 50s and the early 60s, you're one of the best albums to get, whether you get it online or if you're going to buy it on vinyl, is the soundtrack to American Graffiti, the original one. There's a picture of a waitress with an orange cover, and she's got a platter of food. That's the one you get. You got to get the American Graffiti, the original movie, not the sequel, the original movie, American Graffiti soundtrack. It's a great, great history lesson in terms of, of that kind of music. Here's another one that
me cry
by Fats Domino.
And you said goodbye. Ain't that a shame?
And there's that rock and roll bluesy kind of influence.
Ain't that a shame? You the one to blame.
And the testament of a good song, of a great song, is when other people cover it and can actually make it their own. And if there are any fans of Cheap Trick, you'll know from their Live at Budokan album from 1979, they did a cover of Ain't That a Shame. And Rick Nielsen is just going crazy on the guitar. And they really gave that a power pop sound. But here's the original.
Goodbye, although I'll cry, ain't that a shame.
I was lucky enough in the 80s to have seen, what a double bill. I saw Fats Domino and Jerry Lee Lewis. And Fats opened, and Jerry Lee was about 45 minutes late. Typical Jerry Lee Lewis. He played for a half hour and left. Very disappointed, but I tell you, Fats Domino was awesome. He sounded just like this, too. He was probably in his 50s or 60s at the time, and he sounded great. And it was great, even though Jerry Lee was kind of being a goofball that night, which sounds like it was par for the course. But Fats just came out and played a perfect set. It was exactly what you'd want to hear. All the hits, sounded great, played to the crowd, and it was a great double bill. It was one of the shows I always remember, so... Fats Domino, we miss you, and we certainly celebrate your contribution to pop music and the early days of rock and roll. We'll continue our little tribute here with someone from the band Chicago, Terry Kath. as well as a very noted arranger who you might not know by name, but you certainly will know by music. His name was Paul Buckmaster. And if you ever heard Space Oddity or Drops of Jupiter by Train or Without You by Harry Nilsson or You're So Vain by Carly Simon or several of Elton John's songs like Your Song, you heard Paul Buckmaster's amazing orchestral arrangements. And we'll play some of those as well after this. So we were talking about some people that had passed away. Now, this person has not passed away recently. However, they are back in the news. Fans of the band Chicago, obviously here in the Chicago area, many people even know them because they are obviously from the city, Northwest Side. Many of them went to DePaul and studied music there. One of their founding members was a guy named Terry Kath, who was their guitar player. And he passed away in 1978 of a self-inflicted gunshot wound. And there's always been some question of whether he shot himself in a suicide or if it was an accident. The official report was that it was an accident. I guess he was a gun enthusiast. Those who were there say that while there may have been some alcohol and other substances involved at the time, the fact of the matter was he thought he had emptied his pistol, but there was one bullet left in the chamber that he was not aware of. And as a joke, he put the gun to his head and pulled the trigger. And that was that. And it was right at the time when Chicago was about to have some of their biggest hits. They just put out, I believe, Chicago 9. And with Baby What a Big Surprise and some of those other hits on there. And so Chicago's sound was always dominated by horns. But if you listen to early Chicago from the late 60s and early 70s when they were still CTA, Chicago Transit Authority, then they changed the name to Chicago. In some of their early albums, Terry Kath's guitar is very prominent. And while the horns are there, they certainly had a harder edge. They became more of a pop band, and certainly in the late 70s, more pop-oriented as Peter Cetera began to take more of an influence in the songwriting and the singing. And then in the 80s, they became very soft rock. They worked with David Foster, had some huge hits, but certainly wasn't the Chicago that so many knew. But sadly, Terry Kath died in the 70s. Rock and roll was not as prevalent in terms of the mainstream media. So his name came and went. It was before MTV when rock and roll really became entrenched in the mainstream. It's always popular, but in the 80s, thanks to MTV, it went to the next level. So his name has been kind of forgotten. And so he's got a daughter. She was only 2 or 3 years old when he died. And her name is Michelle Kath Sinclair. And she put together a documentary, which I saw on the Access Channel, AXS. It's a music channel. It just came out this year. It's called Chicago, The Terry Kath Experience. And it's really an interesting documentary. And it shows how she's trying to find out who he was because she was only 2 or 3. She doesn't really have a lot of memories at all of him. But there's people like Joe Walsh and Mike Campbell from the Heartbreakers saying just what a great guitar player Terry Kath really was. And if you go back and listen to some of the early Chicago, you will hear that. Here's a song that he sings on and plays guitar, Make Me Smile. And listen to this guitar. Listen to that. Woo! Yeah, that's very different than the later Chicago. And he also, sang lead on Make Me Smile. And then, of course, there's the, which many consider his tour de force. And that's not only a hit song, but he is really playing the hell out of the guitar here. From 25 or 6 to 4, Terry Kath. 25 or 6 to 4. So if you can, go on streaming, or if you can find it on cable, it's called Chicago, The Terry Kath Experience. It's a really great documentary made by his daughter. Listen to that. And one of the cool things is that there was this very prominent guitar he played, this signature guitar that he had a bunch of decals on, including he was a big Blackhawks fan. He has a Blackhawks emblem on this guitar. And no one could find this guitar. It's been gone for almost 40 years now. He died in 1978. And his daughter winds up finding it. And it's very cool. They sort of, the subtext of the story is her looking for her dad's favorite guitar, which he eventually finds. Very well-made documentary, and really puts a spotlight on one of the great rock guitarists who sadly was taken at age 31. No telling what he may have continued to do musically. Terry Kath of the band Chicago. It is almost 4 o'clock. Take a quick break here. We'll be back. Jim Toronto filling in for Nick DiGilio at WGN. No switching.
WGN Traffic and Roger Badish.
And we're still dealing with that crash at Manheim and Belmont. That's the only action we got going on out on the roads right now.
I actually know where Manheim and Belmont is.
Do you live out there?
Well, I sort of can picture where Manheim and Belmont is.
Oh, all right.
It's kind of my neighborhood.
It's on the way, as they say.
Yeah, I could picture that. There's an accident there, huh?
Yeah.
How about Irving and Manheim?
No, Irving and Manheim, it's clear.
That's clear? Okay.
Yeah, it's clear.
How about Lawrence and Manheim?
But, you know, it kind of... It kind of bunches up as you get close to Belmont and Manheim.
Yeah. Well, Belmont is a tough street.
Yeah, it is.
Very tough street. Yeah. Always crowded.
That's what the guys around there say. It's a tough street.
I grew up around Belmont and Central.
Oh, okay.
So that's kind of my hood.
I know there.
Yeah. So.
All right.
Anywho.
That's about it.
Go on, Roger.
Oh, I'm sorry. Thanks. we've got no other delays out on the area express.
Oh, well, then you didn't need to say anything more, did you?
Well, I just wanted to let everybody know that in case they were out there and they're wondering if there was going to be any backups.
Oh, come on. No. It's 10 after 4, Roger.
Well,
anybody with a normal life
is
sleeping.
You know what? I was up at 4 o'clock when I used to teach.
Did you? Really?
Oh, yeah.
Wow, look at you.
Got up at 4 and got everything ready, and I was out on the road by about 5:30.
Wow.
Yeah.
I do notice a lot more. I'm surprised. On my way home here, from here, I'm surprised. I take the Eisenhower home. I'm surprised how many people are on the road at 5 o'clock.
Rush hours are starting earlier and lasting longer.
And there's no it's all reverse, too. It's not just one way anymore.
Yeah, right. For traffic on the 7s or 8s or anytime on demand, get the Traffic Chicago app. Approved by Team Hochberg at Pearl Mortgage. Just search TRAFFIX Chicago. Roger Battis, WGN Traffic Central.
Thank you, Roger. The forecast from the WGN Chicago Weather Center. Sunny, breezy today, high 39. And then off and on rain showers with high temps in the upper 40s on both Friday and Saturday. Sunday, we dry up and cool down with temps back near freezing mark. Right now, mostly cloudy, 33 at both airports. It's 28 in Ottawa, 34 along Chicago's lakefront. I'm Vic Vaughn in the WGN newsroom, ready to join the conversation live whenever a story changes on Chicago's very own 720 WGN. GN.
Jim Toronto filling in for Nick DiGilio here at WGN, 7:20 a.m. If you can hear those strings in the background of that song, You're So Vain. That's the work of a very noted Grammy Award-winning arranger and conductor and cellist named Paul Buckmaster. And he passed away, very surprising, only at age 71. As I said, you may not know him by name, but there was his work on You're So Vain, one of the biggest hits of all time, certainly one of the biggest hits of Carly Simon's career, no doubt about that. And Paul Buckmaster really got his start in the late 60s. I don't know if you know this, but Space Oddity by David Bowie was actually released twice. It was first released in 1969 during the entire, you know, Man on the Moon space thing. It was a hit in England, but wasn't a very big hit here. And then when David Bowie got more popular, it was re-released here in the United States and became a big hit. But On the original version of Space Oddity, once again, that's when Paul Buckminster got his big break doing the orchestral arrangement for Space Oddity. The work of Paul Buckminster, another great arrangement there from Space Oddity. If anybody, a few years ago, there was a David Bowie exhibition here at the Chicago Museum of Modern Art. I don't know if you saw that. If you did, it was really interesting. It was actually before he died, and word no one knew at that time that David Bowie was even sick or that seriously sick. And I've been lucky enough to have met Paul Buckminster because he has done some of his greatest work was with some of Elton John's earliest albums, the Elton John album from 1970, Tumbleweed Connection from 1971, and also from 1971, Madman Across the Water, which has Tiny Dancer and Levon on it. Certainly songs that you may have heard. And Your Song, if you listen to Your Song, there's orchestral background. That album, the Elton John album from 1970, is filled with orchestration, songs like 60 Years On and Take Me to the Pilot, as well as Your Song and The Greatest Discovery. But it was cool. When I went to see the David Bowie exhibit, they had a little section about Space Oddity because it was such an important song in Bowie's career. And so they had all these different little pieces of memorabilia from the recording of the song. And picture sleeves and album sleeves and other things from the recording and from that era. And they had Paul Buckminster's orchestral arrangement, the actual sheet music there. And so I saw that, and I interviewed Paul several years ago and kept in touch with him. And he was responsible for one of the coolest experiences that I've ever had, especially in my life as being such a music fan. He invited me. He was this was in about 10 years ago, and he was conducting an arrangement for a new band for a song that he had been hired to do, and he invited me to the recording session of this orchestral piece that he had written for this song that he's going to record, and he was going to conduct the orchestra. And it was at Capitol Records in Los Angeles. And if you've ever seen Capitol Records, it's that round building that they a lot of times show when they show LA. It says Capitol Records. And that's where Frank Sinatra and Dean Martin and I believe the Beach Boys, Capitol Records, you know, was a huge, huge, recording studio as well as record label. Some of the greatest artists of all time were on Capitol Records, and or even at the very least recorded at Capitol Records recording studio. And the recording studio where Frank Sinatra recorded many of his greatest songs is where Paul was recording. So I got to be in that recording studio where Sinatra recorded some of his greatest songs. And then I was just watching Paul Buckminster go about his amazing talent. The guy was so talented. He was at the London Academy of Music when he was a young kid. He was that smart. His mother was a classical pianist, and he became a cellist. Now, here's a song that you may remember was a huge hit for Train. He won a Grammy for this orchestral arrangement. Oh, no, that's David Bowie. Wait a minute. Where am I at here? All right, wait a minute. There we go. Looking for yourself out there. That she's back from that soul. That was a huge hit for Train. And when I was watching him at the studio, it was amazing how he was, he could hear an off note. He stopped the orchestra and he said, oh, in the 23rd bar, the second oboe, you hit the wrong note. I just sat there like, what? The guy's speaking another language. This is a song, a later song of Elton John's. You may not have heard it. It wasn't a huge hit, but it's a song called Believe. But this really is Paul Buckmaster at some of his best. I mean, that's almost like a lead instrument. The orchestra is a lead instrument, as I said, in many of Elton John's songs throughout his career. Songs like Leave On and Tiny Dancer, Paul Buckmaster's orchestral arrangements are almost as important as the piano or the guitar or the drums. And Elton John certainly heard the talent of Paul Buckmaster and allowed him to fill in those spaces. And the irony is that... as I said before, Paul Buckmaster did the arrangement for Space Oddity for David Bowie in 1969. He worked with a producer named Gus Dudgeon on that song. And it was after Elton John did his first album, which was not a very big hit at all, called Empty Sky. The record company said, we need to get a better producer. And they got Gus Dudgeon to produce Elton John's Elton John album, which has your song on it, which really broke him. And Gus Dudgeon, who remembered working with Paul Buckmaster on David Bowie's album, said, we need Paul Buckmaster to write some arrangements for these songs. And that's how he got on that album with Your Song and things like that. So it's amazing how all these little lines and dots all come together. But I was very surprised to hear that Paul was passing away. I don't know if he was sick with any kind of a long-term disease, but he did pass away about a week or so ago at age 71. You have definitely heard his music, and I think it was worth playing some of that because, as I said, many people maybe not know him by name, but he really added so much, especially, as I said, to the early career of Elton John's music. So once again, if you want to enjoy the music of Paul Buckmaster, just listen to some of Elton John's early albums, especially Madman Across the Water album and Tumbleweed Connection and Elton John and even Don't Shoot Me, I'm Only the Piano Player. Some amazing Paul Buckmaster arrangements. And he passed away a couple of weeks ago at age 71. Jim Toronto filling in for Nick DiGilio. We'll be back right after this. But right now I have to say that it is... from the forecast from the WGN Chicago Weather Center is today sunny and windy, a high near 42. Night will be cloudy, low around 30. Friday we'll have some showers, a high near 50. Saturday a little more rain, high near 52. And Sunday partly cloudy with a high near 33. Right now the temperature at O'Hare is 33, Midway 33 as well. And at the lakefront, it is 34. We now shift gears to Traffic Central with Roger Badish.
And again, no delays on the area expressways, tollways, or highways right now. Minor delays in Indiana on the I-80-90 Indiana Toll Road in both directions. Very minor delays there. Also on I-94 and Elton Jim's favorite intersection, Manheim Road and Belmont. They still have the crash going on there. They're going to wait until he gets off the air here. And
I'm trying to think of a landmark at Belmont and Manheim now.
Oh, wow.
I think there's a gas station. And there may be a Brunswick. There may be a Brunswick bowling alley. And one of those... kind of drive-in motels.
That still exist after they went out of style?
Yeah,
I think
right on the corner there's a gas station, yeah. There's a Brunswick, a bowling center, if you will, and I think there's one of those kind of motor hotels, if I'm not mistaken.
Interesting. Well, yeah, you got a couple of seconds here. Why don't you look it up?
I'll go on Google Maps.
There you go. For traffic on the 7s or 8s or anytime on demand, get the Traffic Chicago app. Approved by Team Hochberg at Pearl Mortgage. Just search TRAFFIX Chicago. Roger Battish, WGN Traffic Central.
Jim Toronto filling in for Nick DiGilio. Thank you, texters. At least I know someone's out there. It's always, you know what, the best thing to do, if you want to find out if anybody's listening it to you at an odd hour of the morning or the evening, make a mistake. It's the best way. When you make a mistake, people will always correct you. And that's what I love about this. And thank you, texters. You are completely right. 708, thank you. A couple of 708s. And 847, you're all saying, Jim, you're talking about Belmont and River Road. You are exactly correct. That is exactly what I'm thinking at. I'm not thinking Manheim. Manheim's the next one. I'm thinking of Belmont and River Road right near Franklin Park. Yes, you are correct. So, Dan, did you Google Maps or did you, what did they?
I was able to pull it up. It looks like there's a Lulu Bell's Pancake House there.
Yeah?
Lulu Bell's. Yeah, Lulu Bell's gas station.
Can you go on all four corners?
I can.
What's on the, I don't remember Lulu Bell's. There's always a gas station, yeah. So that's nothing. I'm trying to think now. Boy, I.
So if you're traveling east.
I know, I'm trying, I know Irving and. I can't picture Belmont in Manheim now.
Yeah.
Lulu Bell's, huh?
If you're traveling east on Belmont, it's on your left-hand side.
Yeah.
Looks like maybe a truck depot or just some factories on the yeah. right-hand side.
Yeah, it's kind of an industrial area around there. Oh, well. If you're going to go to Belmont and River Road, I got you covered. I got you.
There's a sub shop on the other corner.
And a sub shop. Yeah. Okay. Well, so much for my knowledge of Belmont and Manheim. But I really know Belmont and River Road. That I know. That I'm sure of.
We'll move the accident over there.
Hey, Roger, can you give me the traffic on Belmont and River Road?
It's clear. But they're moving the accident
there
over.
There's like a bunch of flatbeds and tow trucks. Can we just move this to the next busy intersection?
Yeah, Jim doesn't know his way around this corner. Move it over there. He knows what's happening.
Well, you know, when I go, I do know Manheim and Lawrence very well because that's what I take to get home from O'Hare. I'm trying to, boy, that's bugging the heck. But Belmont and Manheim. I've driven that a million times. Now that makes me mad. I always pride myself on knowing landmarks.
Road trip.
I'm going to Belmont and Manheim today just for the heck of it. We'll take a quick break. We'll be back right after this. Hey, no switching. I'm going to take you to the river. I'm going to take you to a river in Belmont. Frank's on the phone. Hi, Frank.
Hey, good morning. How are you, Jim?
Good. How are you doing? So what do you have to say about Belmont and River Road?
Belmont and River Road, there's you come over a bridge if you're coming from the east, cross over the river. And that Brunswick Bowling Alley, we're correct about that, and that runs rather long up to the corner, and the river runs right behind it. And then there's Forest Reserve on the northeast corner, which is across the street from the north.
Frank is becoming our Google Maps for us.
And then you had the southwest corner, across from the bowling alley, was an old, I don't know if they tore it down now or what, I haven't been past there for a while. Next time I go to Gene and Jude's, I'll take a look.
Yeah, right. But, that's on River Road, too.
Yeah, further up on Grand.
Yeah.
But that was the Blue Horizon.
Oh, the hotel.
Yeah, yes, that was the Blue Horizon, and us guys used to sometimes rent a room, and we'd go have a card game there.
Oh, really? Oh, you were actually in that hotel?
Yeah, nobody knew about it. You did things as long as you didn't make any noise.
No yeah, more. Wow. I was always afraid to even drive past that hotel. You stayed in it?
We just hit a card.
Yeah, I know. I understand. Wow. So, yeah. And do you live around that area?
Well, I understand you're from Belmont and Central. Last night I called, but you had some other things on your agenda.
Yeah, yeah.
But I grew up on Belmont and Central.
Oh, did you really?
Oh, yeah.
What school did you go to?
The Reinberg, Peter Reinberg.
Oh, right. Definitely. Yeah.
Roscoe and Central, Newport what's the other street? The Major.
Yeah, I grew up on like Roscoe and Laverne, so I was a little east. But yeah, I went actually.
Lived there.
I went to Faulkner for kindergarten, Faulkner Grammar School, and then I went to St. Bart's.
I made my communion at St. Bart's.
Did you? Yeah, that's where I went to grammar school, at St. Bartholomew on Addison.
Yeah, well, and Addison.
Yeah, definitely, yeah. So we're so you were near the old Burger King over there on near Belmont and Central then, right?
It was right on Henderson, on the southwest corner of Henderson and Central.
And there was a Saxon there? Remember Saxon?
Saxons, yes. Yeah. But in fact, when I was a younger guy, around the corner was a Jewel, what they called a supermarket. It was as big as maybe 2.5 7-Eleven.
Yeah, I remember that one, yeah.
Okay, and then there was next to Smith and Shanahan Furniture, which you see the guy on TV now, the kid's grown, and he looks the same as he did back then. And then I go down the block on Melrose. I lived right off of Linder in Melrose.
Oh, okay.
On the block, we had A&P. Across the street on the north side of Melrose was the National.
Right.
Across the alley, there was Kroger's.
Oh, wow, right.
Now,
yeah.
Food for Less.
I do remember that. Now around there, like, right, now, do you still live in the area or no? You gone from there now?
I was in River Grove for a while. Moved to Fox Lake for 14 years.
Oh, my goodness. Yeah, you really left the area then.
Yeah, for a while. But,
well, I'm glad to know that from there's a place right on Central, right near Roscoe, near Addison, a great sub place called Barberino's, which is still there.
Oh yeah, Barber. That's Newport. It's in the northeast corner of Newport and Central.
Yeah,
from the Christian Science Reading Room by Reinberg School.
Yeah, exactly. Wow, you definitely know your. In fact, and then the old Northwest used to be called Northwest Hospital on Addison and Central. There used to be a Dominic's there. Oh yeah, that's the old hood. Definitely love the old hood on the northwest side, and I still go by there every so often.
Oh, the Bitter End.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah.
We played at the Bitter. I had a band. I've been still in music. But
oh, that's cool.
Oh, yeah.
Well, thank you, my friend. If I'm ever back near Belmont and River, we'll bowl a few lanes or a few lines over at the Brunswick Bowling Center. Okay, Frank?
Yeah, it's a big place, man.
Yeah, it's very cool. All right, my friend.
All right, bye then. We'll talk to you later.
My fellow North Sider, that's good old Frank. Yeah, the good old Northwest Side is actually making a pretty nice comeback in that area. A lot of the gentrification and the kind of yuppieization, if you will, is moving west down Irving and Addison and Belmont, and so the old neighborhood is getting. He's getting a nice little rehab, and it's starting to look all shiny and new. But, I lived there for, 27, 28 years? Yeah, still go past there quite a bit, too. Good old Northwest Side, St. Bart's Grammar School, St. Pat's High School. And, Barberino's. Really good. You want the best gyro? Belmont and Central. Central gyros. Woo-wee. Love Central Euros. Still go there with my buddy George. Man, do I love Central Euros. They have the best tzatziki sauce, and the Euro meat is the best. That place is you got to go there if you like Euros. That's all I can say. Central Euros on Belmont and Central. Is Roger there? Does he want to do his? Should I go early or should I not?
We could go to the express and then we can go to traffic.
Oh, want to do the express now and then go to traffic? Oh, Raul, I'm getting Roger in person. Let me hit a button here. Which one are you on?
I don't know.
Well, first of all, Mr. Professional, talk into the microphone.
I think I'll sit out here and talk.
Wow, I'm hitting every one. Where are you?
That's the one.
I've got six mics up. I don't know which one you're on. Okay, let's.
What number is this?
Is that what? Three? That's three?
That's three.
Four. All right, so let's see if that.
I'll raise you two.
Let's see if that's four.
Testing. 1, 2, 3, 4.
It is four.
Look at
there
that.
You go. You're going to do it. Are you going to do it live?
I have been doing it live.
Well, I know, but I mean, I haven't seen you.
I know.
We're all in different rooms.
Monitor,
I see you on the monitor, but I mean, here you are.
It's like a Hollywood Square up there.
Yeah, you're like Paul Lynde.
Yeah.
Hey, it's Mary Vandeveld. How you doing? Boy, she's afraid of me. She's running out of here as soon as she walked in.
Traffic's not that busy.
No, yeah.
We cleared out your
I'll be honest with you. Between 2 and 5, one traffic person's enough. Let's be honest. Aside from some screwball on Belmont and in Mannheim who did something goofy. Do we know what happened?
It took two. It takes two to happen.
Took two.
Not necessarily always takes two, but at the intersection there was a crash.
Well, hopefully no one got hurt.
No
I'm just
seeing
having,
any reports.
That's good.
Of any
just a little fender bender.
They cleared it out.
Very good.
Yeah. Everything's looking well. You got to do the
weather. Let me do that that weather thing,
sounds
and then
good.
we can throw it to you. But now I'm going to have to change that. This is why I love live radio,
okay,
as opposed to pre-recorded. Because I will have to ad lib, and you will not. Can we officially call this Traffic Central? If you're sitting, I love about Traffic Central, it's a closet about 3 feet away from this microphone. I'll never forget when I first came to WGN about, geez, now it was almost 10 years ago when we started here. And I'd always hear the traffic people say, at Traffic Central.
Well, it's all different computers and systems in there.
I understand that, but my point is, so I was picturing. I was picturing like the room in Dr. Strangelove, the war room,
right,
with maps and lights and big desks and computers and important people. And I walked in, and Traffic Central, even in the old downstairs studio,
right,
was this little closet in the corner where there was a microphone, a computer, and a mop.
A police radio
and a mop.
Yeah.
I felt so. I was like, "That's Traffic Central." Used to talk about theater of the mind. So what should I say where you're at now?
Well, this half of the desk is
would be
Traffic Central.
So apparently, you just carry Traffic Central with you.
I am.
You are Traffic Central.
I am Traffic Central.
Because I have to clean Traffic Central.
Well, that's why you have the mop.
Yes.
I told you, they always have a mop there.
I'm cleaning Traffic Central, and Roger has to move himself to actually do the work.
Well, it's funny. I'm watching you now, Mary. I'm watching you in the thing, and she is literally cleaning up. Why? What are you doing in there, Roger?
Job.
I'm not doing anything. I cleaned before I started.
She is Perelling that place like I've never seen before.
Well, just wait until she takes the flamethrower to it. You know,
well, if you want,
really,
Mary,
clean it out.
I mean, if you want,
wait a minute.
I'm looking in the garbage to see what Roger's been eating.
If you want, Mary, I've got some Cashmere Woods Glade.
Lysol?
No, it's Glade. Oh, Cashmere Glade. Woods. It's got vanilla, citrus, and amber.
Ooh, that's a nice winter smell.
No one's going to want to come up here to do a show all day long.
Who uses that anymore?
Are you kidding? I go to Menards and they're 99 cents. I get 10 cans every time I go.
Maybe I need some in here.
I'll give you a spritz on my way out.
Roger didn't smell that bad last night.
Apparently.
What? You're not into amber, citrus, and vanilla there, Roger?
Not down my throat.
We were talking about Paul Lind earlier.
I know.
Hi, Sammy.
Oh my God.
How you doing, Sammy? Well, let me do this weather thing, and then we'll throw it over to Traffic Central, which apparently lives in Roger's pocket or something.
It does.
You're like the boy in the traffic bubble.
I am.
Here's the forecast from the WGN Weather Center. Where's that at?
Right where you're sitting, buddy. Look out the window.
I mean, at least Tom Skilling's got a green screen. Where the hell is Traffic Central or
like,
Weather Central?
Do it like George Carlin. Look out the window. Say tonight's forecast.
Well, pretty much. I mean,
right?
Boy, there's a lot of theater of mind going on here. Weather Central, Traffic Central. Holy smokes! Traffic Central basically lives on a piece of paper.
That's on my computer.
Yeah. Okay. Well, here's the forecast from the mysterious WGN Chicago's Weather Center. Oh boy! Sunday, sunny and windy.
Sunday, beautiful US 30.
Today, sunny and windy. High near 42. Tonight, cloudy with a low around 30. Friday, showers. High around 50. Saturday, more rain. High near 50. Sunday, partly cloudy with a high near 33. Yeah, it is at the WGN Chicago Weather Center. Micah, it's O'Hara 33. Micah, Midway 33, yeah. And 34 at the lakefront. And now we go to the other side of the console, which apparently right now is called Traffic Central because the original Traffic Central is being cleaned by Mary Vandeveld. And here's Roger Badish.
And we're not seeing any delays on the area expressways, tollways, or highways, the Kennedy Express lanes.
You're reading it off your phone?
I am right here.
Traffic Central is a phone now. It's not even a room.
It's just part of it. I can't put all of it. I can only put one thing at a time on my phone.
It's an app.
You leave your app out of it.
Jim Tirano filling in for Nick DiGilio. Had a good time today. Thanks to Dan Shagru, the producer, Roger Badish on traffic, Vic Vaughn on news, and even a quick cameo by Mary Vandeveld from Traffic Central. Thanks to all callers and texters. Hope you had a good time. I ain't here on business. I'm only here for fun. I had a good time. I hope you did, too. We're going to do it again all over at 2 a.m. tomorrow morning. I will be here again, so I hope you'll join me. Set your alarms or just keep your insomnia intact, and we'll talk to you tomorrow at 2 a.m.